The code of this message is B16ANC C01. The following is message number one of the 2016 International Chinese Speaking Conference, given at the Ministry Conference Center in Anaheim, California, on the morning of February 12, 2016. The code is B16ANC C01. Series title, The Gospel. Message title, number one, The Gospel of the Kingdom. Scripture reading, Ephesians 1:13, Colossians 1:5, Mark 1:1, verses 14 to 15, 16, 15, Matthew 4:17, 24:14, 28 verses 18 to 19. The code of this message is B16ANC C01. Lord Jesus, from the depth of our heart, we thank and praise Thee. Thank You because of Your grace and because of Your mercy that You have gathered safely in You. We renew our consecration to You again. Lord, we belong to You. We are the children of Your household, as well as the people in Your kingdom. And we are also those lovers of You. This morning, we choose the best portion as Mary. Lord, we sit at Your feet to touch Your heart's desire and listen to Your holy words. Lord Jesus, we look to You. We pray that in the short period of 48 hours, be with us richly. Your presence is our greatest blessing. Lord, when we have You, we have Your dispensing. When we have You, we have all Your riches. Thank You for supplying all that we need. You quenched all of our thirst. And You've healed all of our sickness, and all our eyes that are blind has been opened. Lord, we say, 'tis enough to have Thee. Lord Jesus, we love Thee. Especially we give You this weekend speaking concerning Your kingdom. Lord, reveal it to us in detail and slowly and gradually as You are there preaching the gospel of the kingdom as You were on earth speaking to Your disciples concerning the kingdom of God. Want to follow the patterns of the apostles, speak with boldness. Lord, we love You and we love Your kingdom. Lord, open our eyes, take away all the veils, Lord, that we can maybe deliver out of all of our concepts. Lord Jesus, open the eyes of our heart and our understanding that we may see what is Your gospel and the content of Your gospel and the riches of Your gospel. Oh, pray for the truth of the gospel that we may enter into the truth, and also give us the burden, the commission of Your gospel to us through this weekend. Add this burden to Your church, that Your church may be a gospel-preaching church, that everyone will be preaching the gospel. Lord, we thank You that Your recovery may be multiplied and increased throughout the earth, and may You be glorified and the Father be satisfied. Lord, listen to our prayers. We bind the evil one. We do not give him any ground. Lord, we thank You. Amen. We have come quite full seating. We're quite full in number. So it's a Chinese New Year's, and yet we do not have any congratulations concerning the Chinese New Year. Whatever your wish will be granted, and everything will be well, and those kind of words we have not, and even good luck. No, we do not have all those things. We have been delivered out of all that. We are just here tonight, just love Him and love His Word. We're here sitting before the Lord in quietness because the Lord has a word to speak to us. The burden for this conference is actually one word, the gospel. The gospel. The gospel is the glad tidings, it is the good news. And you say we have believed in the Lord and we have been saved. Why is it that we still need to preach the gospel? Why is it for the saved ones, as us, you still want to talk about the gospel? There are two verses that I'd like to mention to you first. The first place is Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Paul says now that my gospel, that is the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept in silence in the times of the ages. My point is quite simple. The gospel, on one hand, is something simple. Actually, according to Paul's point of view, that is the revelation of the mystery which has been kept in silence in times of ages. Have you ever thought that the gospel is a revelation of the mystery? We hope that at least the five messages is a beginning for your entrance into the gospel. If you have not had this understanding, we hope that you will have it by now. That is, the gospel is a mystery. The gospel needs a revelation for us to see the revelation of the gospel and the content of the gospel. The gospel is not something shallow, nor is it the outside people call it the gospel. And the second place is 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. But if you keep the word of the gospel, and because of the laid up for you the heavens of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The gospel is not something you just believe in the Lord and for you to be saved. But today it is through the gospel that we are being saved gradually. So therefore the gospel is not once for all for us to repent, to believe in the Lord, and when we call on His name, we are saved. That is good. But it is through this gospel that we will be saved gradually until we experience God's full salvation. Although we have believed in the Lord, we still need to know the riches of this gospel. We still have to enter into the depth of this gospel. And now, I would like to, just because I see the scenery before me, I'm really touched. There's so many brothers and sisters sitting in front of me. There are 15 buses came down from Bay Area. Can you stand up? Those from the Bay Area, let us see you. We thank the Lord for that. Thank you. Please be seated. I have heard the Buddhist said there will be 900 to 1,000 saints from outside of Southern California. And tonight, the place is filled. It's truly the Lord's blessing. Now let's go back to the Word. The subject, the gospel, is a great subject, especially in the Bible and the New Testament. It is one the greatest subject. the New Testament, concerning the gospel, we have the gospel of God, the gospel of the Son of God. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the gospel of Christ Jesus. We have the gospel of grace, or the gospel of glory, and the gospel of peace, and much more there. We have the gospel of the kingdom, as seen in message one. From the Bible, you can see that the gospel is not that simple. That is why Paul and the Lord Jesus spent so much time. Paul in Ephesians, in Ephesus, he spent time with the disciples to talk about the gospel. We merely use five messages to present to you the major points of the gospel. Is quite short. And not only we want you to know, to understand about the gospel, our burden is that once you enter into this gospel, you know about the gospel, we become a gospel preacher. This is not a low gospel, a shallow gospel, a gospel in Christianity, but this is a complete gospel, a high gospel, the gospel according to the Bible, the purest gospel. That is our burden. Paul, he was being sent, was not just to preach the gospel, but to teach people to know the truth. That has come to Roman number one. In Roman number one, it is such a word. That is, the truth is the gospel. Usually we think about gospel is one thing, the truth is something else. We have the gospel class or truth class. You cannot say that is wrong, but that may cause our concept to be not so accurate. The gospel and the truth are just one thing. Let's look at Roman number one. The gospel includes all the truth in the Bible. Listen, the gospel includes all the truth in the Bible. Every truth in the Bible is included in the gospel. Have you ever thought about it? All the truth in the Bible could be learned in the gospel. Thus, the entire Bible is the gospel of God. The entire Bible is the gospel of God. You ask me, what is the gospel of God? Look at it. This Bible is the gospel of God. So let us see. In order to know about this gospel, we must enter into the Bible. Especially, we need to enter into the truth of the Bible. A, the truth is the gospel, and the light of the truth is the light of the gospel. The unique commission of the church today is to preach the gospel, the content of which is the truth. Today, throughout the earth, it is filled with darkness. It doesn't matter it be in the east or the west. The whole earth is under darkness. Therefore, we need light in darkness. Therefore, the Bible tells us concerning the light. Of course, the Lord Jesus himself is the true light. God is light. Especially when we talk about the light is the truth and the light is the gospel in such a dark age. A society filled with superstition, and in this dark and ignorant multitude of people, what is needed is the light. It is the light of the truth. It is the light of the gospel that is needed. But the light of the truth is equating to the light of the truth. Wherever there is the truth, there is the gospel. Wherever there is the light of the truth shining forth, there will be the light of the gospel shining forth. The only commission of the church is to preach the gospel. Amen? This is the unique commission of the church, that is to preach the gospel. I hope that all the brothers and sisters, each one of us, will be a gospel preaching one. Amen? This year is the year of 2016. It is another year of the gospel. It is also another year of the truth. We have to proclaim this gospel, and we have to present the truth. The content of the gospel is the truth. The content of the gospel is the truth. There are some verses that I would like to read to you. I may not be able to read all, but please pay attention to John chapter 8, verse 32 says that, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." This truth is the genuine gospel. The gospel will set us free. The truth shall also set us free. 1 Timothy 2:4. This is a great verse. "Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth? Our Savior God, His desire is only one, and yet it has two aspects. One is for all to be saved, and the second is for all to come to the full knowledge of the truth." Actually, these two items are just one. To be saved and to know the truth cannot be separated. They are joined together. All the saved one should know the truth. And to know the truth will cause us to have a real and genuine salvation. Let's come to B. The gospel is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament. The gospel is the fulfillment of the promises, prophecies, and types, and it's also the removal of the law. This is the full definition of the gospel. In our common Christians, and even some of us among us, our understanding of the gospel is really, really low and short. Let me say again, the gospel includes all the truths in the Bible. I want to emphasize Roman numeral 1 again. For example, God's creation. For example, man's degradation, man's fall, or God's incarnation, becoming a man. For example, God's dispensing. Give you another example, triune God, Christ, the Spirit. And give you another example, the saints, the church, the kingdom, the New Jerusalem. You say, are these the truth? Let me tell you, every item is a gospel. If you have such a vision, then you have too much to talk about. You speak it gradually, slowly, from Genesis to Revelation. Every point is a gospel. Is that right? The gospel is not only the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of sins is not only reconciliation. The gospel is not that we have been accepted by God. The gospel includes our regeneration, our sanctification. That also includes our renewing, being renewed, our transformation, our confirmation, our glorification, the so-called organic salvation of all its aspects are just part of the gospel. Regretfully, because of the degradation of the church, man's understanding concerning the gospel has become degraded or fallen. And ever since Reformation, the Lord has begun a work of recovery. In the past 500 years, the recovery of the church is the recovery of the truth. Let us use the words that we want to use this weekend. This recovery is also the recovery of the gospel. Today, we need to have a recovery of the gospel, right? you look at this ministry. Because of this ministry, the entire Bible has been open to us. It is truly open to us. If we really have the eyesight, we will know the truth that we have. The truth that we have is the highest. It's in the midday. It is in the noontime. If we do not enter into such a gospel, we owe it to the Lord. We fall short of the Lord's expectation. So today, the commission of the church must be to preach the complete gospel, the high gospel, and the gospel of mystery, the mystery of the gospel. So the gospel in the Old Testament consists of many promises, many prophecies, as well as laws. The gospel is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament in its promises, prophecies, and types. Such a fulfillment is the gospel. Not only that, it also removed the law. There's no longer the law, yet the promises have been fulfilled. That is the gospel. This is the full definition of the gospel. What are the promises? There are some verses referenced here. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, that's one of the greatest promise. And what does it say there? It says that the seed of the woman will be enemy between, and the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent will bruise the seed of the woman on the heel. This is what Christ will accomplish on the cross. Not only he defeated, but he destroyed Satan, who has the power of death. And this is another example. That is, he's the seed of Abraham. It was not mentioned there, but in Genesis, it talks about all will be blessed because of the seed of Abraham. That is a promise. And that promise concerning the blessing of the seed of Abraham has been fulfilled in the New Testament. That fulfillment of the promise is the gospel. Today we have received the blessing of Abraham. According to Galatians, that blessing is the Spirit. God's blessing to us is just the Spirit. And this Spirit is what he has promised in the Old Testament and yet not fulfilled until the New Testament. So here I have given you two examples. He said, besides the promises, there are prophecies. I think one of the prophecies in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 7, a virgin shall conceive and will have bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And that is what's fulfilled in the Old Testament. Look at this. This is another example of the prophecies being fulfilled. And how about typology? In Genesis 3:21, and Jehovah God made coats of skins for Adam and for his wife and clothed them. And here, the coats of skins is referring to Christ's redemption, covering us. And skins, that means there must be animal died and the blood was shed. That typifies the redeeming Christ on the cross, who died for us and shed his blood for us. And he is like the coats of skins to cover us. This is another example in typology. Not only that, in the Old Testament, you have the lamb, manna, you have the water in the wilderness, the tabernacle. Recently, we just had a crystallization study of Exodus. All of aforementioned talk about the typologies of, and those are the fulfillment of the types. That is the gospel, and it is the full definition of the gospel. Let's come to Roman number 2. The four gospels reveal different aspects of the gospel. Let us read through them. There are four gospels in the New Testament. It talks about various aspects of the gospel. Not only it mentions about the four aspects of the Lord Jesus, but it refers to the four aspects of the gospel. Look at A. In Matthew, the gospel, the goal of the gospel, the kingdom, is to bring people into God to make them citizens of the kingdom of the heavens. Whenever you come to read the book of Matthew, you have to remember this is the book concerning the gospel. It is the gospel of the kingdom that is a burden tonight. The goal of such a gospel is to bring people into God, to bring people into the triune God, and thus to make them citizens of the kingdom of the heavens. This gospel not only is that causes us to go to heaven, but it is causing us to become the kingdom people. B, in Mark, the preaching of the gospel is to bring part of the old creation into the new creation. Mark talked about the Lord Jesus being the slave savior. As he preached the gospel, when we come to Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all the creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." Therefore, you can see the gospel preaching is to all creation. So therefore, man as a leading part of the old creation, the most important part of the old creation. So Mark, in preaching the gospel, is to bring this old creation created by God, yet lost. Through the gospel, preaching of the gospel, the old creation will be redeemed back to turn back to God. That the old creation can become the new creation to enjoy the glorious freedom in new creation. Let me tell you again. So the gospel does not only just tell you to have peace, to have joy, and go to heaven. No, the gospel is to make us the new creation of God. Very often we think about the gospel, we're self-centered. We have not thought about God's heart desire. Actually, the gospel is to accomplish God's desire. See, in Luke, we have the gospel of forgiveness to bring redeemed people back to the God-ordained blessing. For us to preach the gospel, we are here to preach the word of forgiveness and repentance so that people may be redeemed to return back to God's ordained blessing. That is what God has prepared for man in creation. This is what the Gospel of John shown us. D, in John we have the eternal life that we may bear fruit for the building up of the body of Christ, which is Christ's increase. Have you seen it? This not one place tells us that we will not go to hell but go to heaven. No, not one place has said it. But number one, in Matthew, we're to become God's the kingdom people. Number two is to become God's new creation. Number three is to partake of God's blessing. And number four is for us to be built up as the body of Christ, which is Christ's increase. This is a goal of the gospel. In John, particularly, we come to chapter 15. It talks about we have been chosen by him, that we are to abide in the vine, and we shall bear fruit, and the fruit shall remain. Why should we bear fruit? The bearing of fruit is for the increase of Christ, the vine, that he may have the increase and the spread. This is totally a matter of life. Therefore, the Gospel of John is the book of life. For us to receive the eternal life is not only for us to live forever eternally, that life is to produce, to multiply, to bear fruit for his increase, for his spread, and for his building. And that's come to Roman number 3. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God. It is crucial for us to see that the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is the main topic here. Therefore, tonight, the subject for this message is the gospel of the kingdom. You have to see it. You must see it. You can say, tonight, the message, it's just a beginning word. It is just an introductory word. What follows the four messages are very, very important. But it is also important to have a beginning. That is to lay a foundation, right? You must have such an understanding concerning the gospel. That will help you to know the following messages. Now, concerning the gospel, we have seen several things. Look at the verse reference here. Mark first talk about John the Baptist. He is a pioneer for the Lord. He came before the Lord, had his ministry. When John came out, the first word he proclaimed, John the Baptist, what did he say? He said, repent. He did not say anything, but he just said, repent. For the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. Look at John. He is the first one preaching the gospel in the four gospels. We have to know that the first mentioning is set the first principle. So what was mentioned is a seed. So the first preaching of the gospel is what? To repent. Because what? For the kingdom of heavens has drawn near. What is that kingdom of heavens? That is the Lord Jesus himself. He is the kingdom. For the Lord Jesus to be near is the kingdom of heavens has drawn near. And when the Lord Jesus came out to fulfill his ministry, he did not say anything. He followed what John said. He also said, repent, for the kingdom of heavens has drawn near, because I am in front of you. So the first preaching of the gospel is related with the kingdom of the heavens. That tells us that how close the relationship between the kingdom and the gospel. Therefore, the kingdom is the gospel of the kingdom. And he went to this place, this city, and that city, he preached the kingdom as the gospel. And he said, I was sent for this. God sent me is to preach the kingdom as the gospel. Therefore, afterwards, he sent the 12 disciples. He said that you should proclaim the kingdom. He himself also proclaimed the kingdom to the multitudes. And the Lord Jesus taught concerning the kingdom, and those who follow the Lord Jesus should also preach concerning the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 10, he sent 70 people out. After he sent them, he said, go and what? And said, the kingdom of God has drawn near. After the Lord Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and ascended, the disciples followed the same example. Philip was there preaching the kingdom of God. And Paul, he was talking concerning the matters concerning the kingdom. Wherever they go, they preach, they proclaim the kingdom, witness concerning the kingdom, and with boldness proclaim the kingdom. And all the verses that I refer to you is for you, brothers and sisters, to have a deep impression that the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. So now let us look at how is this the gospel of the kingdom? A. The kingdom of God is a divine sphere. A kingdom is a sphere, a realm for God to work out his plan. It is a realm where God can exercise his authority to accomplish what he intends. What is a kingdom, brothers and sisters? A kingdom is a person where he can do whatever he wants in such a realm, because this is his realm. He rules all in this realm. Whatever aim, whatever goal, whatever he wants to accomplish can be done at his will. So this is the definition of his kingdom. God's kingdom is God's realm or sphere where God can accomplish his intents, his plan. Without the kingdom, God cannot accomplish his plan. Without the kingdom, God has no place on earth to accomplish, to exercise his authority. Without the kingdom, God has no realm where he can accomplish his intents. Therefore, God needs a kingdom, and such a kingdom includes us. That includes all the believers, all those who believe into the Lord Jesus. That means all who have received the Lord Jesus as king into his kingdom, into us. In this realm, he can rule and reign. He can accomplish his intents. We pay much attention usually to the church. Yes, the church is very important, but have you ever thought about without the kingdom, there's no church? The church is something in the kingdom. The church exists because there is the realm of the kingdom where God can establish such a church. Today, whatever God wants to do on us, in us, whatever he wants to accomplish must be done in a realm, and that realm is the kingdom. So the first thing, we need to repent. You need to repent. We need to turn to God for us to enter into the kingdom. Therefore, John says that he who is born, unless we're born new, we cannot see the kingdom of God. If we are not born of water and the Spirit, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Even this Gospel of John, the book of Gospel of Life, first it talks about regeneration in chapter 3. Right away, it mentions about the kingdom. Yes, we have been regenerated. In our common understanding is that my life is bad, it's not good, it's not up to standard. Therefore, I need a new life, right? Therefore, I need the life of God. That is regeneration, to become the children of God. That is not wrong. But have you ever thought about for us to be regenerated is for us to enter into the kingdom, for us to enter into the kingdom, for us to be regenerated to born anew is to be entered into the kingdom, to become part of this kingdom. It is only in this kingdom God can accomplish all that he wants to accomplish. Let's go on. One, the kingdom of God is the ruling, the reigning of God with all its blessing and enjoyment. I particularly would like to ask you to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love? I really don't have the time. And what does this verse talk about? And pause it. I give thanks to the Father that you qualified what us to have a portion of the saints in the light. And that portion is the inheritance of the Israelites. In the Old Testament, the good land Canaan is the inheritance. What is our inheritance in the New Testament? Who is it? It is this all-inclusive Christ. He is the unique portion we have in the New Testament. It talks about that in the kingdom of God, there's not only the reigning, the ruling, but there's also blessings and enjoyment. This is the kingdom of the Son of his love. In this kingdom, there's love. There is God. In this kingdom, there's the Son of God. And in this kingdom, there's the life of God. And in this kingdom, we have all the riches of God. All of the above are our blessing. This is a great part of God's kingdom. Two, the kingdom is a realm for God to exercise his authority so that he may express his glory. The so-called the Lord's Prayer is what the Lord has taught us how to pray. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven, so also on earth. And at the end, what does it say? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You can see the kingdom of God is also a place where he can express his glory. Wherever one's kingdom is, the glory is expressed there. Without a kingdom, there's no glory. Wherever there is the kingdom, there's glory. Therefore, the kingdom of God is his glory. B, the fundamental problem in the universe is rebellion against the authority of God. When men fell, he rebelled against God, put God's authority aside, denied God's authority, and rejected God's rule. This is very clear. All the verses referred to talk about in the universe, the first rebellious one is Satan, the devil. He was the morning star. He was the son of dawn, and he has been hewed down to earth. Why? Because he rebelled against God. He wanted to uplift himself. He rebelled against God, and such a rebellious life and nature, because of man's fall, has came into man. Therefore, man became the children of Satan. Man has become sons of rebellion. All over the earth, the entire earth, people have rebelled against God. So therefore, there's a fundamental problem in the universe that is rebellion. To put aside or deny God's authority. We did not let God rule or reign. That is the most fundamental problem or question in the universe. Don't even talk about the great universe. Just talk about you and I. You and I, we are a universe by ourselves. We have this problem, that problem. I can say it in this way. the fundamental basic problem is rebellion. What is your basic problem? What is your, my fundamental problem is rebellion. He said, no, it's sin. Let me tell you. No, it's not sin. It is rebellion. Because you rebelled, therefore, you sinned. That is right. Brothers and sisters, the fundamental problem is that of rebellion. Therefore, the gospel of the kingdom is a gospel that will bring us back to be under God's ruling and reigning. See, through the gospel of the kingdom, God brings people under the ruling of the heavenly authority so that they may become his kingdom, those who are ruled by his authority. The gospel of the kingdom is to bring people back to be under the ruling of the heavenly authority. Have you ever thought about that when we believe in the Lord Jesus, this Lord Jesus who has entered into our spirit, he's not the Jesus that's nailed and crucified on a cross. Where is this Lord Jesus? He's sitting on the throne. He's no longer on the cross, but he's sitting on the throne. He is the king, right? He is the head. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say, Lord Jesus, I believe you. Lord Jesus, come into me. Who came in? Who came in? The King came in. The King of Kings came in. The Lord of Lords came in. He brought his throne to, and he brought his reigning into us. This is the gospel. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, God's throne comes into us. The reigning one has come into us. The Lord of this universe has come into us for our whole being to be under the ruling of his heavenly authority. So that we may become his kingdom, those who are ruled by his authority. This is a real Christian. D, the New Testament preaches the gospel in the way of the kingdom because the kingdom of God is the real gospel. To know the gospel requires that we know the kingdom. E, the gospel is for the kingdom and the gospel is proclaimed so that the rebellious sinners might be saved, qualified, and equipped to enter into the kingdom of God. I will not expound on this. 1. The gospel of life, the gospel of grace, and the gospel of salvation are all for the kingdom. The kingdom is the center, the hub. The gospel of life, God so loved the world, John 3:16. For us who believes into him, we will not perish but have eternal life. Acts 20 talks about he testified that the gospel, Solomon testified of the gospel of the grace of God. Tomorrow morning, we will talk about the gospel of the grace of God. And Acts chapter 4 talks about and there's salvation in no other, for neither is there another name under heaven given among men in which we must be saved. Romans talks about the gospel is the power of God to save all who believe in him. So the gospel is the gospel of life, gospel of grace, and the gospel of salvation. But all the previous three are all for the kingdom. The kingdom is the center. Life, grace, and salvation. You can say these are the spokes. The hub, the center, is the kingdom. You can say the kingdom is the real gospel. The kingdom is the inner content of the gospel. When we preach the kingdom, it's to preach the gospel. Now, let's come to two. The gospel of kingdom brings people not only into God's salvation, but also into the kingdom. The emphasis of the gospel of the kingdom is on the heavenly ruling of God and the authority of the Lord. I will not speak too much on this. Go to three. The gospel of the kingdom brings the believers into the realm of the divine ruling so that they may participate in the blessing of the divine life in the divine kingdom. Brothers and sisters, we believe in the Lord, right? That is, has some application. Yes, we have believed in the Lord, but unless we are under the ruling of His throne, then we will not in the reality of the kingdom. Yes, maybe. We have morality. We have piety. We have something of the outward things. But what God wants is that He wants to be the Lord, the King in us, that in everything that we do, we should receive His reigning and ruling. Then, and only then, can we be a person living in the kingdom. Three, the gospel of the kingdom brings the believers into the realm of the divine ruling, so they may participate in the blessings of the divine life in the divine kingdom. When we are in the kingdom of God, we definitely will enjoy all the blessings of the divine life. 1 Thessalonians talk about this. We have received this blessing because we walk in a manner worthy of the kingdom. What we have received is an unshakable kingdom. All of those things are what we can enjoy as blessings in the kingdom. Let's come to F. In Matthew, the goal of the gospel of the kingdom is to set up the kingdom of the heavens by putting people into the triune God, making them citizens of the kingdom of the heavens. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is to put people into the triune God. When people entered into the triune God, people will become the citizens of the kingdom. How can we enter into the kingdom? John talked about born of the water and of the Spirit. And those are those who have believed into and baptized into the triune God, that we have become the citizens of God's kingdom. G, God commands everyone to repent for the kingdom. For you to enter into the kingdom, there is a requirement. That is, you need to repent for the kingdom. Not only repent for your sins. Yes, we must repent for our sins. And much more, we should repent for the kingdom. One, to repent means that originally we were rebellious and against God, and now we turn back to the Lord in submission. That is the meaning of repentance. It doesn't matter I'm a good man, I'm a bad man. I'm a person. I'm a man who rebels against God. I'm against God. To repent means that I turn completely to the Lord from the previous manner of life and being. So, in the book of Acts, chapter 26, Paul said God gave him a commission that is to turn people from darkness into light and to deliver people from the authority of Satan into the authority of God. That turning is repenting. To repent is to turn to God, to walk worthily of our repentance. That is what we need to do. Two, what is repentance? To repent is to have a change of mind, issuing in regret, to have a turn in purpose. Repentance, brothers and sisters, is to change our mind, to change our concepts, to change our philosophy, even to change our logic. All of those are not for the kingdom. Be it good or bad, those are not for the kingdom. What is to repent? To repent is to be free from who we are, to be free, to be released of what we do. It doesn't matter if our concept is good or bad, we must what? We must repent. We must repent. Three, unless we repent, that is, have a change of concept, we cannot enter into the kingdom. I don't know tonight, are there any friends who have not received the gospel? I'm not only here talking about the kingdom of God, I'm here proclaiming the kingdom of God. After you have heard such a word, if you are touched within, the Lord's moving you, you need to repent. You need to turn to have a change of your mind. You need to turn from yourself and turn to God Himself. Such a repentance, such a change of concept will cause you to enter into the kingdom. Unless a man repent, he cannot believe into God, he cannot enter into the triune God. So the first thing is that we must repent. All of us believers, we still daily need to repent, moment by moment, repenting, that is to turn to Him, to the Lord. Then, and only then, we can live a life of the kingdom. Let's come to Roman number 4. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations before the end of this age. We know about this verse. It talks about the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth. In Revelation chapter 5, what does it say? And from every tribe and tongue and people and nation have purchased for God by your blood, and you have caused them to be, and you have made them a kingdom and a priest to our God. This gospel has to be preached throughout all the earth so people can return to God to become the kingdom of God on earth. A. The gospel of the kingdom must be brought to the whole inhabited earth through the church in the Lord's recovery. This gospel has been given to the churches in the Lord's recovery. Such a high gospel, such a gospel of the kingdom is what we have seen. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we must preach this gospel to the whole inhabited earth. As we're preaching the gospel, as we're speaking here, the gospel is preaching in Germany among the refugees, all those from Middle East, the Syrian refugees. We're preaching what kind of gospel? The gospel of the kingdom to them. This is a great commission to the churches in the Lord's recovery. B, because all authority has been given to the resurrected Christ, He sent His disciples to disciple all the nations. They go with His authority. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 19. We all know these verses. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It says to disciple all the nations. To disciple means to make them the kingdom people. Disciple all the nations is to make the heathen the kingdom people for the establishing of his kingdom, which is the church, even today on the earth. The church is a kingdom, the reality of the kingdom of God on earth today. The reality of the church life is the kingdom. The reality of the kingdom must be the church life today. Two, the intrinsic purpose of our preaching the gospel is to bring the people of the nations into the triune God in order to make them the citizens of the kingdom of the heavens. I said before, when the Lord Jesus came into us, to use our today's terminology, is he did not only bring the thorn, he bring his government into us. So don't become what? A Christian who's anarchy, living anarchy. Because there's a throne in you. There is the kingdom in you. There's a government in you. There is a steward in you. Today, we are the citizens of the kingdom of God. Therefore, our church life must have the reality of the kingdom. When we preach the gospel, we're bringing people into such a church life. That is to bring people into the reality of the kingdom. When we have such a testimony, then the end shall come. That is when God has such a kingdom, has such a reality on the earth, then he can bring in the manifestation of such a kingdom. That is the upcoming kingdom age. Three, according to Matthew, being baptized into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is for the constituting of the kingdom of the heavens. For only those, God's heavenly kingdom can be constituted with only with people who have been immersed into the union with the triune God, and who have been established and built up with the triune God who has been wrought into them. I say this is clear. Let's all read together for the last point together. God's heavenly kingdom can be constituted only with people who have been immersed into the union with the triune God and who have been established and built up with the triune God who has been wrought into them. So from here, you can see the need of the gospel of the kingdom. Such a gospel of the kingdom's preaching is for people to be brought into the triune God and to have an organic union with the triune God. In such a union and mingling, these people can be established, these people can be built up, and such a building can be constituted to be God's heavenly kingdom. We will not be too late tonight. I will just stop here. I think, how about have some prayer by twos and threes? Amen.